What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Or is it even necessary to be His disciple? Can a person be saved without being a disciple? All those questions may appear to be quite foolish, but wait until we define a disciple and hear what Jesus has to say about the matter. Perhaps it will appear more relevant then than it does at the first. The words disciple and disciples appear 256 times in the Scriptures, with only a single use in Genesis through Malachi. It's found one time in Isaiah 8:16. In the Gospels, the word disciple is found 24 times, and the word disciples is found 217 times. The books of Acts through Revelation include the word disciple 5 times and disciples 26 times. Matthew through Revelation refer to disciple and disciples 255 times. I would say that makes the word important. By way of comparison, there are words commonly used in the church world that are never found in Scripture, not so much as a single time. Some of them include rapture, pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation, slain in the Holy Spirit, falling out under the power, baptism of the Holy Ghost, carnal Christian, and a host of others. Also consider that the word Christian is found 3 times compared to the 255 uses of disciple and disciples. The words husband and husbands are used 40 times. Wife and wives are used 82 times. But there's no point in going any further with such comparisons. The point is that some are prone to talk a lot about what the Bible does not mention at all or mentions only a few times, while things that are mentioned a lot in Scripture are often heard very rarely from the pulpits and classrooms of the average congregation. The expression disciple means learner or pupil and involves following one's teaching. Objectively, a disciple is the person who's being taught by Jesus. Subjectively, it's the person who's following the teaching of Jesus, building his life upon what Jesus has taught him. Now the question becomes, who is the person that Jesus will teach? Or is he willing to teach anyone? To view it another way, who is the person who will actually do what the Lord Jesus teaches? What kind of person does this? And is it really necessary to follow what Jesus does teach? First, let us note some things Jesus said about being a disciple. In Matthew 10:25, He declared, "It is enough for the disciple that he is as his master." That is what is required, and it is sufficient to qualify a person as a disciple, being like his master. If the master is not of the world, the disciple is not allowed to be like the world. If the priority of the master is to please God, it's not permissible for the disciple to make it his aim to please men. Understanding that being like the master is something requiring growth and maturity, Luke records Jesus saying, "Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." Luke 6:40. To be perfect is to be mature. Some versions read, "fully trained" or "fully taught." Therefore, the teaching of Jesus is seen to aim at the disciple becoming like the master, or the pupil like the teacher. Jesus once told his disciples, those who were following him and being taught by him, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16:24. A person comes after Christ in order to be taught by him. I suppose that might also include obtaining answers from him, although that certainly is not the main reason for following after Jesus. Jesus laid down 3 qualifications here, and they are worthy of extensive development. First, a prospective disciple must deny himself. That is, he must take second place, not putting his own desires above those of the master. He must learn to say no to natural desires, not setting his own priorities or being driven by purely selfish interests. Second, he must take up his cross. This has to do with the repercussions of following Jesus. It deals with dying to the world, enduring persecution, and being willing to go through hardship to follow Christ. Third, the person must follow Jesus, pursuing him, not expecting the Lord to run after him. It is the business of the disciple to be where Jesus is and do whatever is necessary to get there. Jesus went on to say, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 16:25. That is, the person who does everything he can to maintain his own interest will lose his life, forfeiting everything. However, the person who forfeits selfish ambitions and determines to abandon his own interest in preference for gaining what Jesus has to give will gain everything. Now let us look more deeply into the requirements of a disciple, that is, what's required before a person will be taught by Jesus and learn from him. Keep in mind, there's no such thing as being saved without being a disciple. It's not possible to acquire needed learning if Jesus does not teach us. Therefore, being a disciple is the most crucial matter. If knowing God and Christ is the definition of eternal life, then the state of being uninformed about God must be avoided at all cost. It's been revealed that when Jesus comes, He's going to destroy with everlasting destruction everyone who does not know God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Luke provides us with three statements made by Jesus concerning who cannot be a disciple. It goes without saying that they are serious. They are found in the 14th chapter of Luke. Statement 1 is found in Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If this statement sounds difficult, it's because it's intended to sound that way. Jesus is candid with would-be followers right up front. He will not allow a casual, half-hearted person to be his follower, his pupil, a person who learns from him. Here Jesus makes quite clear that earthly relationships will not be permitted to interfere with a disciple learning from him. This is not a goal to which one works. It's what is required before you even get in the line of those who follow Jesus. Before you can even come to him, this is something that is absolutely necessary, and there will be no reduction of the requirement or negotiating about a more convenient way to learn from Christ. No special provisions will be made for the person who feels this is too much to ask. Let me state the requirement again, this time from the Amplified Bible. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with the attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The word hate does not mean despise or disrespect in the ordinary sense of the word. This is the comparative word. The idea is that when a person's relatives demand the attention that is being given to Jesus, the disciple will refuse to give it, preferring to yield to Christ rather than to them. This includes one's father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters. If the disciple is required to leave the feet of Jesus and forfeit his teaching in order to please his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, the course of action to be taken is plain. If the person chooses to honor the desire of his relatives over the teachings of Jesus, he is excluded from the class. Jesus said it plainly, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus will not go back on that word. I will tell you that many people never really learn from Jesus for this very reason. Their immediate families demand more attention from them than is proper. Now I realize that this can introduce other questions, but that's something the would-be disciple must settle with Jesus himself. I'm merely telling you what the Master said, and I'm going to be speaking as one who knows this is the truth. But Jesus does not stop there. He adds that the disciple must learn to hate or consider of relative unimportance his own life also. If the pursuit of a career, education, personal interests, hobbies, and the likes mean that you will not follow Jesus, you had better decide to follow Jesus, whatever it costs. If you choose self over being taught by him, you have his word in the matter, you cannot be his disciple. The second statement is found in Luke 14:27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is here speaking of self-crucifixion, for the cross is for dying to self. This has to do with paying the cost involved in following Jesus. Paul responded in faith to this requirement when he considered his own religious advantages. He was not only a Pharisee, but a Pharisee of the Pharisees, having excelled in the strictest sect of the Jews. He enjoyed some degree of prominence and had a promising future among the Jewish elite. After tasting of the Lord, he looked on those advantages and said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Philippians 3:7-8. There were also sufferings to be endured as a result of following Jesus. The world does not take kindly to those who repudiate the course of this world to enjoy the privilege of following the Christ. The world's hatred and rejection may involve being beaten or having one's name reproached or being ostracized from a group of former associates. Whatever the form of rejection takes, the true disciple is willing to endure it for Jesus' sake. Of course, Jesus had made it clear that anyone who is not willing to do this cannot be his disciple. He will not teach them, direct them, or allow them to be in his classroom. The third statement is found in Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Precisely what does it mean to forsake everything you have? Does it mean you take a vow of poverty and determine never to own anything? To be truthful, it's quite possible that following Jesus will require a decision of that magnitude. On one occasion, a rich young ruler asked Jesus what he could do to inherit eternal life. After some dialogue, Jesus plainly told him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." Mark 10:21. That text is preceded by a word that states Jesus said, because he loved the young man, he was required to sell out with the promise he would have treasure in heaven. Then he could follow Jesus as his disciple. However, he was not willing to forsake all. Eternal life was not that important to him. It is written that he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Mark 10:22. Jesus knew the man's heart, and he was tied to his possessions and could not let them go. Instead of him having possessions, his possessions had him. He did not consider that he would eventually have to let them go anyway, or that being with Jesus would bring greater benefits to him. And so for the time being, he kept his possessions, but it was at the expense of having treasure in heaven, following Jesus, and having eternal life. That was not a good trade-off. By way of comparison, when Jesus called Peter and Andrew to leave their fishing trade and follow him, it is written, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Mark 1:18. When he asked James and John, also in the fishing business, to do the same thing, it's written, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Mark 1:20. When Jesus called Levi, the tax collector, it is written, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. Luke 5:28. What was the difference in these five men, Peter, Andrew, James, John, and Levi? It was that they placed a greater value on Jesus than what they were doing. They saw being with Jesus and being taught by him as having greater advantage than worldly success. If you were granted the ability to speak with those five men and the rich young ruler today, to speak with them in the abode of the dead, where everything is plain and they're unencumbered with the sights and sounds of the world, what do you suppose they'd say about the choice they made? Do you imagine that the rich would say he had made a right choice, or that the disciples of Jesus would say they'd made a wrong one? Who has the greater advantage now, in view of the rest of their existence, heaven and hell, and the day of judgment and eternity? Who really made the right choice? Listener, Jesus is still calling people. He is calling to you. Is there something that stands between you and following Jesus? Is there some kind of blockage that is preventing you from learning from Jesus, from being his disciple and being taught by him? It may be your family or a prospective husband or wife or an inordinately demanding family. Is it possible it's your education or a career or some form of entertainment? Listen to me. To forsake all means that at the point where there is conflict between being with Jesus and being taught by him and anything or anyone else, you choose Jesus and do so without hesitation. Are you willing to do that? Only you know the things this involves. It's not for any of the rest of us to define them for you. We have our own assessment to make. But make sure of this. All of us are required to make the choice. I'm sure that some who are presently hearing my voice are in a spiritually stunted condition because you've not been willing to pay the price. You've actually let other people and other things take the blessing from you by demanding too much from you. Jesus has more to give than anyone else. So why would anyone hesitate to heed his words, forsake all, and follow him? What could possibly move a person to choose to hold on to what he eventually must give up anyway? Listener, I'm calling upon you to be a disciple of Jesus and to do so with your eyes wide open. You know that he's calling you. Give heed to him, listener. Give heed to him. Be his disciple. Let him teach you, lead you, and direct you. You have the promise that whoever believes on him will not be disappointed.